yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته MashaAllah, welcome to all of my viewers. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, viewers of Madani channel. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, you're watching our program yesterday, today and tomorrow. InshaAllah Azzawajal, a beautiful Waliullah, the life and biography of such a great saint of Allah Azzawajal and such a great scholar of Islam. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal. Let me tell you who this great scholar is. This scholar is known as Imam Sayyiduna Jalaluddin Sayyuti Shafi'i. Rahmatullahi ta'ala, a scholar that has written hundreds of books, alhamdulillah, on many, many different topics. And mashallah, azzawajal, we could say that Imam Jalaluddin Sayyuti Shafi'i, rahmatullahi, is one of them great saints of Allah, azzawajal, and the great scholar of Islam that has done a very, very big favor upon the Muslim Ummah, alhamdulillah, azzawajal. And today, inshallah, azzawajal, we're going to go through some of the very important parts of his life as well, inshallah, azzawajal. But before we do anything, let's inshallah azza wa jal go towards one of the blessings of reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah's final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the closest person to me on the day of judgment will be the one who sent the most durood upon me. Subhanallah. So the one who recites the most durood salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the person that is the most closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. There's a very beautiful story that I want to mention to you regarding Sayyidina Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And it says that the servant of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, his name was Muhammad bin Ali Habbak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He's the one who is telling the story. He says that one day at the time of Qailullah siesta, yani Qailullah is to sleep just at the time of Zuhr Salah, before or after Zuhr Salah for a few minutes. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said to me, if you do not reveal this secret before I die, yani if you do not reveal this secret before I die, I have an intention of offering Asr Salah in Makkah. Subhanallah. And I agreed to keep it a secret. And then he took my hand and told me to close my eyes. After taking approximately 27 steps, he told me to open them. After doing so, I saw we were at the gates of Jannatul Mu'ala. We visited the graves of Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi alayhi, and Sayyidina Imam Sufyan bin Uayna rahmatullahi alayhi, and more. After that, we entered the haram, performed tawaf, drank zamzam, sat behind Maqam Ibrahim and performed Asr Salah. He then said to me, do not be surprised, for the earth has been folded for us. You can come with me if you want, or you can come back with the pilgrims. I decided to go with him and we went to the gates of Jannatul Ma'ala. He told me to close my eyes again. And when I did, he took me through 7 steps quickly. Then he told me to open my eyes and we found ourselves back in Egypt. Subhanallah. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. Obviously, this was one of the miracles of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, such miracles have been mentioned in the glorious Quran, as well as the famous miracle of Hazrat Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahmatullahi ta'ala. His miracle has been also quoted or mentioned in the glorious Quran, and many other miracles that have been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and in other books as well. And from all the respected scholars rahimahumullah that he had lived, the Mujaddid of the 9th century, Shaykhul Islam Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullah ali, is amongst those who wrote the most Islamic books. Like I mentioned to you, that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah ali wrote hundreds of books as well, and we mention a few of them inshallah azza wa jal. And he was also the Mujaddid of the 9th century, just like we know Mujaddid of the 14th century ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, in the same way for the 9th century. So you can imagine how many years that's nearly what, 9th century, so nearly 500 years Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi before Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was born in 849 and in Cairo in Egypt in 849 after Hijri. He's also known as Ibnul Kitab, the son of books. And he says that one day the Imam's father asked his wife to get a book from the home library. When she entered the library, she immediately went into labor and gave birth. This is why the Imam is known by this title. So he's known as the title of Ibnul Kitab, because he was born in the library of his father, and that's why he's known as Ibnul Kitab. His name is Abdul Rahman, and his famous appellation Jalaluddin, which was given to him by his father. He is more famous by his title than his name. His laqab is Abul Fazl. One day his Shaykh Izzuddin Ahmad bin Ibrahim al-Kinani al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi asked him, "What is your laqab?" The Imam replied, "I do not have one." So writing it down with his own hand, the Shaykh said, "Your laqab is Abul Fazl." The Imam was a follower of the canonical schools of Islamic jurisprudence founded by Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi. So that's why after his name, when we say Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was the follower or the muqallid of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, which is why the Shafi'i is attached to the end of his name. The forefathers of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi lived in the city of Usyut, and this is why he is called Suyuti. He wrote a book regarding the city's history called Al-Mazbut fi Akhbari Suyuti. His grandfather was a great saint of Allah Azza wa Jal. His forefathers were respected people of the city, some of whom were wealthy businessmen. Now this is another thing that we find amongst our previous scholars, is that alhamdulillah, where they were scholars, they were also businessmen as well. Sometimes people think that doing business is something else, being a scholar is something else. You know, they say deen and dunya. But alhamdulillah, if you go back to our traditional scholars, they were businessmen, as yet they were big, great scholars as well. Take Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great businessman, yet mashallah, as well the great Imam of our school of thought, of the Hanafi school, and who that is who we follow. Even if you take Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a great businessman and the great author and writer of the beautiful book Bukhari Sharif, which is the authentic book alhamdulillah after the Holy Quran amongst the Muslim Ummah as well. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, his family, where they were scholars, they were businessmen. Nowadays if you ask people, you know, that why don't you gain some Islamic knowledge, they go, "We're doing business." You know, so people think that doing business is something different and being a scholar is something different. Halanke, if you look into the history, you know, even if you look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were great businessmen in Medina. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, they were great businessmen. So therefore, we need to understand that our masjid imams, you know, they have chosen this lifestyle so that they can give their whole time for the sake of deen as well. So cherish them and respect them, because they are the ones that alhamdulillah are giving us the sacred knowledge of deen as well. And he says that Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullah Alayhi's father was Abu Bakr Kamal Uddin Rahmatullah Alayhi. He recited the Quran daily and completed it every Thursday. So every Thursday, he would complete the Holy Quran. Now that's another thought that comes into your mind. How did they do it? What was the magic behind it? How could they even finish one Quran every week? And we try to read the Quran and we can't finish it in 1 year. But these great people, you know, it's about the love that they had for the Quran. You know, like Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, he used to finish 61 Quran in the month of Ramadan. Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi alayhi, for 15 years, he finished one Quran every night. The reason behind that was they had that love for the Quran. They have the love for the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we make so many promises, we make so many intentions, so many, you know, I'm not saying that we do it deliberately, but because we're not in that routine. Now you tell me, for 11 months we don't open the Quran, and then all of a sudden in the month of Ramadan, our whole lifestyle is going to change. It's not going to happen. Well, it doesn't happen in the real world. You can't change your habits and lifestyle overnight. It takes time. So now it's time for us that we change our habit. We, alhamdulillah, as well, try to read the Quran. We try to make the intention, you know, as a family, you know, if there's 4 or 5 family members, why can't we finish one Quran in the month of Ramadan? You know, or even every month. Why, you know, 4 people in the family or even 3 people read 10 pare a month? That's nothing, 10 pare a month. But alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, what you're going to achieve is you're going to achieve one Quran every month and inshallah 12 Quran for the whole year. Now just imagine, subhanAllah, you're going to benefit yourself, but subhanAllah, look at the benefit that you're going to give to your family and your friends, those who have passed away. So we need to think about that as well. But before I delve into the lifestyle of Sayyidina Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali, let's take a beautiful kalam. After the kalam, we'll come back and we'll learn more about this great saint and scholar of Islam, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him."
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, poochega Maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, "What have you brought?" I will then say, "The name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam."
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, صلى الله على محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad dil ka ujala. Nami Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں, مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں, جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا. نام محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علی محمد.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عز و جل, a very beautiful kalam and recited beautifully by Rizwan bhai, ماشاءاللہ عز و جل. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, welcome back to our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, we're talking about the life and the biography of a very great saint and a very great scholar of Islam and the Mujaddid, the reviver of the 9th century, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti As-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And just before we went to the break for the kalam, we talked about the rank of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi's father, the love that he had for the Quran. Every Thursday he would finish the Holy Quran. His father, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, also taught in the madrasa, and he was also the imam of Jami Masjid Ibn Tulun, and he was respected by the khalif of that time as well. Remember, in the olden days the Muslim Ummah was run by Khalifate, so there was the sultans and the khalifs as well. Now, one day the ruler of Egypt requested through the khalif that the father assume the position of Grand Mufti of Egypt. Now, so you can imagine the great scholarship or the scholarly level of his father, that even the leader or the sultan or the ruler of Egypt went to the great sultan or the khalif to ask that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi's father, he becomes the Grand Mufti of Egypt. And he declined. And then sadly, he passed away on the 5th of Safar 855 Hijri. After his death, a person saw him in the dream and asked him, "Allah tested you in the world, so you gained an abundance of blessings in the hereafter." The father replied, "This is exactly what was happened. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability." So now, subhanallah, from this account, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi's father was forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal, because he came into the dream of someone and he told him inside the dream that Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven me. Now the scholars, they mention that a person who spends his life in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and in gaining the sacred knowledge of Islam, and then he spreads that knowledge to other people as well, Allah Azza wa Jal has mercy upon that person. It's also apparent from the biography of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh, the incidents in his father's life are lessons for those who want their children to follow the sunnah. And this is a very, very important thing to do. We must make sure that our children follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, sometimes people have this mindset that I want my son to become a good, a businessman, I want him to become a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer. Who says that? And I keep repeating this, and many muballighin keep repeating this. Islam does not stop us from gaining worldly knowledge. But Islam does say that give priority to your deen. Now today, you know, for some people, who does, you know, it's only one way. You know, you have you seen, you know, in Pakistan, I've seen horses, you know, carriages where they have, you know, a patti. Their eyes are just focused on the front. Our eyes are just focused on the dunya. What about the deen? What about namaz? What about Ramadan? Even now, Ramadan is coming up. Yeah, children, they're probably getting ready for their exams. Parents will ring up and say, oh, my son's having an exam. Does he have to fast in the month of Ramadan? You know, obviously he has to fast in the month of Ramadan because fasting is prescribed as farz if they are bulbalig and everything. But you know, that it's not an excuse that his exams are coming up. You know, because of his exams, that fasting will be blessings for him. That will be barakat for him. So rather than saying that my son can't fast because his exams, I would recommend that if it's not in the month of Ramadan, fast that day that you go for your exams. So Allah will give you barakat. But coming out with these things that, you know, my son or my daughter have got exams, I've got this job that I can't really fast. Yeah, if you are traveling and it's a shari travel, then yes, Islam, alhamdulillah, gives us that leeway, or gives us, you know, the scholars, they mention that you can fast one day after Ramadan if it's necessary. If you are ill, you are traveling, then, you know, alhamdulillah, Islam gives us that leeway. You know, Darul Ifta and alhamdulillah, Department of Dawat Islami, ring the brothers up and they'll, inshallah, answer your questions and you'll find out, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. It's also, if you become pious, offer salah, adopt the sunnah, raise your children according to the teachings of the Quran and make them memorize the Holy Quran, become scholars, then by the mercy of Allah, you will see how the support you in old age and become a cause of honor for you after you die. So alhamdulillah, if we raise our children, you know, to a level where we teach them the Quran, we teach them the respect of parents. One of the biggest complaints of parents nowadays is that children don't listen to us. They argue, they answer back. You know, they smirk when I talk to them. They don't listen to me. I feel like if I say something to my son, I'm scared of him. My daughter, I'm scared of him. You know, I had a mother rang me up once and she says that my daughter, I'm scared to talk to her because she hits me back. She hits me. And you think to yourself, wow, you know, is this happening in the real life? You know, and her daughter, she, ma'azallah, even though she's doing wrong, her mother's trying to tell her not to do it. She's hitting her mother. She's swearing at her. You know, astaghfirullah. But the reason is, I'm not saying that she did not bring her daughter up according to the sunnah. Sometimes it's the environment out there as well. But at least we need to think about our son, our daughter, about their grave, about their hereafter. Just don't think about their dunya. Don't think about their career in the dunya. Think about them thousands of years that they will stay in the grave. If they've not been offering their salah, they've not been fasting in the month of Ramadan, they're not being a good Muslim, and they are punished inside the grave, there's nothing that you can do after that. So we need to understand where we are giving that education to our children about the dunya. We need to give them education of the deen as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi says, my father would take me to scholars when I was a child. How many times have we taken our children to the scholars? Yeah, we'll take them to politicians. But when it comes to scholars, patayikoini. Why? Because we're not interested. What are scholars going to give us? Ma'azallah. You know, this is what we think about. Even though our nikah is done by the scholars, when your child is born, the azan is given by the scholars. When you die, the scholars will come and read your nikah. They will do the Fatiha Khani for you. They will do everything for you. So from when the day we are born until the day we die, everything according to Islam, we need scholars. But why we talk bad about them as well? Astaghfirullah. And he says that, when I was 3 years old, he took me to Imam Ibn Hajar and a saint called Sheikh Muhammad. They prayed for me to be a blessed child. So subhanAllah, one of the reasons why you take your children to these scholars is that these scholars will make dua for your children. They'll do dam on them. They'll make dua for them. And alhamdulillah, the dua of a great scholar, a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal. The saints of Allah Azza wa Jal are the friends of Allah. That's why we say, Awliya Allah. The friends of Allah. So if these friends of Allah will make dua for your children, inshallah Azza wa Jal, your children will definitely be pious, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Before the Imam's father passed away, he made wills to several people for the upbringing of his son. After that, Sheikh Kamaluddin bin Al-Humam Al-Hanafi rahmatullahi arranged for the issuing of a stipend for him from Madrasa Sheikh Huniniya and paid special care to his education and upbringing. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti learned from the great hadith masters of his era. So just like, you know, we want to send our children to the best schools, we'll read through their reviews and we'll go through the teachers, who those teachers are teaching there. We'll go through their, you know, online, you know, portals, see how they study, see how they teach, who the teachers are, what are the methods. In the same way, do we ever think about our children's Islamic education? The madrasa we send our children to, are they going to teach love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are they going to teach about the true Islam? Or my children, I just send them to the madrasa. You know, we've had a parent and he says, you know, in the month of Ramadan, we're contemplating, we're thinking as to what the schedule should be in the month of Ramadan, because iftari is going to be roughly about 5:45 in that region. Now, the parents were saying, oh, is it possible that you can take them on for 3 hours in the month of Ramadan? Why? Why 3 hours? Is because, you know, that's just an opportunity for us to sit at home and relax. You know, so you want to relax for 3 hours. What about the teachers? Have you not thought about them? You're fed up with one child and the teacher will have 15 or 16 children to look after. Subhanallah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi had a very strong memory. MashaAllah. He memorized the Quran at the age of 7 years. So he became a Hafiz Quran at the age of 7 years, as well as large Arabic texts like Umdatul Ahkam, Minhajul Bayzawi, and Alfiyatu Ibn Malik, and Al Minhajul Nawawi. So he studied inheritance laws from Sheikh Shihabuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, an expert in various sciences and jurisprudence. He was granted permission to teach and issue legal verdicts at the age of 27. He traveled to Syria, Arabia, Yemen, India, and Western lands to gain knowledge. He learned from Sheikh Jalaluddin Al-Mahalli rahmatullahi alayhi twice a week for a year. When the Sheikh Al-Mahalli passed away, the Imam completed his unfinished exegesis of the Quran, which then became famously known as Tafsir Jalalain. And Tafsir Jalalain is one of the greatest Tafsir commentaries of the Holy Quran, Tafsir Jalalain. And Tafsir Jalalain is taught in many, many Islamic institutions, especially Darul Ulooms and Jami'atul Madinas. The Tafsir Jalalain is taught there as well. And it's a book that, subhanAllah, is an amazing. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, he says that one day I mentioned to my teacher that I could not find a narration he wrote in his book at the reference he provided. Instead, it was in another book. As soon as I mentioned this, he added marginal notes in his book at the position of the incorrect reference without checking the reference I provided. This increased my respect for him immensely, and considering myself lowly, I pleaded, you could have waited to verify the reference first. Subhanallah. So even his teachers, they didn't need to verify any references that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi was given. His teachers trusted him. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So inshallah, Azzawajal, Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, we're going to now, inshallah, Azzawajal, take our next break, inshallah, and go towards a package, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, repent abundantly in the month of Rajab. Without doubt, Allah Almighty frees many people from the fire in this month. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the statement of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have been given the glad tiding that we will be freed due to the barakah of this month. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated that whoever recites this istighfar, أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه توبة عبد ظالم لنفسه لا يملك لنفسه موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. Whoever recites it 7 times in Rajab and Shaban, Allah Azza wa Jal will command 2 angels, Allahu Akbar, appointed to him to wipe out his book of sins. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the recitation of this istighfar, which is prescribed by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Makhdumi Ashraf Jahangir Samnani rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated that repent abundantly in the month of Rajab, and whoever seeks repentance by reciting this istighfar 3,000 times in the month of Rajab will be forgiven. And what is that istighfar? Astaghfirullah ya dhal jalali wal ikram min jami'i dhunubi wal atham. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgive us all our sins, inshallah, azza wa jal. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Dear viewers, Sayyidina Wahb ibn Munabbih, rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that in the month of Rajab, all rivers of the world visit Zamzam out of respect for Rajab. And I have read in one of the books of Allah Almighty that whoever raises his hands in the morning and in the evening in the month of Rajab al-Murajab and makes dua for forgiveness 70 times with these words, the fire will never touch his body. And what are those words? Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wa tub alayya. Translation, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and accept my repentance. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Those who just joined us, welcome to our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. So inshallah, we've got another package to show you as well. But before we go to that package, let's just talk a bit more about the life of this great scholar of Islam. Now, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, we talked about his great father, we talked about his memory, we talked about how his teachers trusted him. And this is very important. You know, as a teacher and as a parent, we need to trust our children. Don't undermine them, and don't always think negative about them. Sometimes we think, oh, he's never gonna do it. You know, like sometimes, you know, you talk to parents and they say, oh, he's never gonna do it. Or teacher, most of the time, it's the teachers. They sometimes say, he's never gonna do it. Now just imagine if that child was to, understood what you said, is that not gonna break his heart? And even if it's your son or your daughter, and you're there negatively talking about them, and you're putting them down, and you're belittling them in front of other people, do you not think that you're going to break their heart? So it's very important that we think to ourselves that our children, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, sometimes people think, look at so-and-so's daughter or son, he's done such great work, what have you done? You know, then they can talk about and say, look, so-and-so's father, what have you done? You know, what goes around comes around. So never belittle your children. Alhamdulillah, praise them, talk good about them. And inshallah, as well, do their islah. Yeah, that doesn't mean that you praise them when they do something wrong. Obviously, no one's ever going to think regarding that as well. But when they do something wrong, yes, reprimand them. Talk to them, sit them down. Rather than, ma'azallah, hitting them or doing anything, sit them down, explain to them. Yes, I know, at that moment of heat, sometimes, you'll become angry. But, we all need to think to ourselves. We need to sit back and think to ourselves that these are my children. Even though if you are a teacher, that whole class of 15 to 20 children, they are your children. You will be asked and you'll be judged about them. So it's very important that we think about this as well. Now, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, he pledged allegiance to an accomplished spiritual guide with correct beliefs who fulfills all conditions of spiritual mentoring. This has been the practice of Muslims for centuries. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi pledged allegiance to his Piro Murshid, Sheikh Muhammad bin Umar al-Shazili, who hailed from the Shazili spiritual order. Along with his marvels in Islamic knowledge, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi possessed a lofty rank in piety. So when we talk about the awliya Allah, the pious people, obviously They are very, very pious individuals. He remained absorbed in the remembrance of Allah at most of the time. So he's always in this mode where he's always doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's always constantly thinking about Him. You know, so alhamdulillah, our pious predecessors, our scholars remained in such a state that they would always think and contemplate about their time as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi would become ill due to the grief of missing tahajjud. Allahu Akbar. We're not talking about the five daily salah. We're talking about tahajjud, which is not farz, it's a nafli salah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would offer tahajjud. And yes, there is a lot of blessings in offering tahajjud, but it's not fard. But Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi, he'll grieve, he'll worry, why did I not offer my tahajjud salah? Allahu Akbar. And today, let's be honest, if we've missed our salah, do we ever worry about that? Can't wake up for Fajr Salah. Have we ever worried that I did not wake up for Fajr Salah? Allahu Akbar. For His sake, Allah Almighty grant us the passion as well. His love for the Sunnah. So when you talk about piety, you talk about someone who read the Quran, you talked about someone who offered his supererogative of a Nafl Salah. And Imam Jalaluddin Rahmatullah Ali, he was an ashik of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He acted upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi revived the sunnah of wearing a cloth which covers the head and shoulders in a particular manner. It's called a tela san. MashaAllah, he wrote a book regarding it called Al-Ahadithul Hisan Fi Fazli Tayla San, and encouraged his students to act upon it as well. SubhanAllah. Imam Jalaluddin rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that I have memorized 200,000 hadith. Not two. 200. No. 200,000. Not two. Not two. Not 200. Not two. Not 20. Not 200. Not 2,000. 200,000. Allahu Akbar. He says, and would have committed more to memory if I received them. So he only received 200,000 hadith. And he memorized them all. I traveled to Makkah to perform Hajj and made the following dua after drinking Zamzam. My Lord, grant me the rank of Sirajuddin al-Bulqini in jurisprudence and the rank of Ibn al-Hajar Asqalani in hadith. Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The acceptance of this dua can be gauged from the following. The statement of the Imam, alhamdulillah, I have mastered seven sciences, Quranic tafsir, hadith, jurisprudence, Arabic syntax, semantics, expression, and a rhetorical embellishment. SubhanAllah. If one has concrete certainty, the dua after made after drinking Zamzam is accepted. Many Hujjaj-e-Kiram, they've come back, people go on Umrah. Or if you are the one that goes on Umrah and you drink Zamzam, make du'as, you know, good du'as. Ya Allah, give me the memory. You know, Ya Allah, make me a scholar of deen. Make me a hafiz-e-Quran. Ya Allah, safeguard my iman. So keep making good du'as as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drunk. So if you drink it for any reason, the Zamzam water, inshallah, will be for that reason. We've got another package to show you. Let's go towards the package and then inshallah, we'll talk a bit more about and then we'll wind up our program, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Every one of us has this desire that Allah Azza wa Jal grant us salvation, that Allah Azza wa Jal enter us into Jannah. There is one very beautiful way of attaining this. What is this way? The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the month of Rajab is one of the favorite months of Allah, and it is a month of Allah. So the one who respects and reveres the month of Rajab, he respects and reveres the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who respects the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will enter that person into his orchard of blessings. And not only that, Allah Azza wa Jal will make his pleasure wajib, obligatory upon him. and for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, a very beautiful Madani pearl regarding the blessing of Rajab and a very beautiful dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often recite in the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajabin wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Subhanallah. Ameen. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has special proficiency in hadith and his books attest to this. Taqiyuddin Ojaki rahmatullah alayhi tested the Imam by sending him hadith with changes to the narrators. The Imam explained the principles and ranks of the hadith and sent him them back. Taqiyuddin Ojaki rahmatullah alayhi visited him, kissed his hand and said, "By Allah, I did not think you knew any of this. Forgive me for what I did." So he tested him. That will Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi know them? Now for someone who knows 200,000 hadith by heart, it wasn't difficult for him. Abdul Wahhab Shahrani rahmatullah alayhi said, "Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi was the most knowledgeable person of his era in hadith and his principles." So subhanallah, he was not just Hafizul Hadith, he was a muhaddis of his time. He was Shaykhul Hadith of his time as well, subhanallah. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Shazili rahmatullah alayhi tells of how the Imam once said that, "I saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam whilst I was awake. He addressed me by saying, 'O Shaykhul Hadith, O Messenger of Allah,' I replied, 'Will I enter paradise?' He declared, 'Without any punishment,' I asked. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'It is like this for you,'" subhanallah. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi is the one that will enter the gardens of paradise without punishment. You can't even imagine these people. You can't imagine punishment with these kind of people. But subhanallah azza wa jalla, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi was that great Imam of his time. "I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream and I asked him if I could read some of Jam'ul Jawami' to him, which is one of my works in hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Read it, O Shaykhul Hadith.' The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling me with this was a glad tidings, better than the world and everything in it." Subhanallah. You know that they say that I love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the best thing would be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "I love the person." We all say we love Allah. You know, the best thing is if Allah says, "I love him." Subhanallah. And that's what we need to try to work towards. Someone wrote a letter to Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, asking the Imam to commend him to the ruler. The Imam replied, "My brother, up till now I have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 75 times whilst I was awake. If I did not fear that meeting such rulers would deprive me of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would surely speak in your favor to them. I am a servant of hadith. I need to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding hadith, which were classified weak by the research of hadith masters, in order to correct them. Without doubt, this benefit is greater than the personal benefit you would receive." Subhanallah. So he would meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to gain more knowledge, and subhanallah, and to correct, so if needed, those people that mention the hadith regarding anyone who classifies a hadith weak or research of any hadith master. In the gathering of Nur Muhammad Mahravi rahmatullah alayhi, the books of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi were mentioned, and the former said, you know, so this is a great wali of his time, and he talks about Imam Jalaluddin. He says, "Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every day in a wakeful state after Fajr Salah. He did not go outside until he saw him. There are some who experience this and there are others who reject these incidents without cause." So subhanallah, every day seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in your dreams, what a great favor upon these great people, subhanallah. Abu al-Fazl Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi writes regarding his teachers, "The amount of people I listened to those who gave me ijazah and those who taught me even one verse of poetry, these amount to approximately 600. As for specialist sheikhs, I learned from 150. So he had 600 people that he went to learn knowledge, and 150 of them specialized in one of the sciences. He had many students. Hafizul Hadith Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Shami al-Salihi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, author of the renowned Subulul Huda wa Rashad. He was also a student of the Imam. In 867 Hijri, he was appointed to the role previously held by his father in Madrasa Shaykhuniyya as the fiqh teacher. In 871, over time, his fatwas became widely famous in Arab and non-Arab lands. He said to announce the blessings of Allah upon him, "Only Allah knows the number of fatwas I have issued. I wrote separate books regarding issues scholars differ upon, which are over 50 in total. As for my fatwas, they comprise 3 volumes of work currently." In 872 Hijri, he started teaching hadith in Jami' Tuluni, where Imam Ibn al-Hajar Asqalani once did the same. This tradition had stopped for 20 years when Imam Ibn Hajar passed away, but the Imam restarted it in 877 Hijri. He became the head hadith expert of Madrasa Shaykhuniyya. Subhanallah. What was the first book that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti? So he's written many, many books, hundreds of them. His first book. He says that at the age of 17 years old, the first book that I wrote was Sharhul Isti'azah wal Basmala. Subhanallah. And these people have written these books. Allahu Akbar. His teacher liked it so much and penned an endorsement for it. Most of his books became famous during his lifetime in Arabia, Syria, Rome, India, Yemen, and Western lands. One of his students had a dream and told Sheikh Saleh Muhibuddin about it. The latter interpreted and replied, "The knowledge of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti will spread to the east and west before his death." Subhanallah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, MashaAllah, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is a very, very great scholar of Islam. So we're coming to the end of the program. What a beautiful life. What an amazing life. Subhanallah. These people learnt sacred knowledge of deen. Please spend time, learn the knowledge of the deen, learn how to read the Quran, learn how to read the Arabic language. And one of the easiest way to learn Arabic language is if you can learn how to speak Urdu. Now remember, there are a lot of Islamic books in Urdu as well. So make sure that you learn Urdu language, will be easier for you. And because the same Arabic letters are used for the Arabic language, Alhamdulillah, it'll make life much easier for you to learn Arabic as well. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us all the ability and the blessing to learn the Quran, to understand the Quran, and to inshallah talk about the pious people. Inda zikr salihin tanzilur rahma. Talking about the pious people, Allah showers His blessings. Jazakallah khaira for watching today's program. Inshallah, we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Take care of yourselves and keep watching Madani channel.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.